You are the Lamb who was slain. Lord Jesus Christ, you are a resurrected King of the universe. Lord Jesus Christ, we exalt you in this house. We praise your holy name, O wise one. You have entrusted to us the ministry of reconciliation. You've entrusted to us the kingdom release that you wrought on the cross when you said it is finished. You are the resurrected one, Lord. And today your healing anointing and power is here in this house because, Holy Spirit, you reign. You reign supreme. If you have any ought in your heart against anyone where you may have not felt real close or you feel as though there's a hindrance to really feeling affection for the person next to you or the person in front of you, ask the Lord to cleanse you. So I believe God wants to do some amazing things today. If there's any ought in your heart for how things are done or how things look or any opinion that you might have that's not been submitted to our King, ask God to cleanse you right now. For the Spirit of the living God is here, wants to touch the people in this place, all of us. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Forgive us, O God. Forgive us, Lord, for not seeing who you really are at times. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for our own thoughts and our own ways. Forgive us for our own opinions on what we think kingdom looks like. Thank you, Lord. Stir us up, Holy One. Stir us up, Holy One. Holy Spirit, just reign through this place. Touch the hurting bodies. Touch the diseases in this house. Lord, we raise up our voices right now because we've been entrusted with the pearl of great price. And Lord, we love you and we believe you desire to demonstrate who you are right here, right now. Think of the ones around you. If you're sick, if you feel something that isn't right in your body, just put your hand in the air. And those of you who are being stirred up, go lay your hands on them, please. Go lay your hands on them that they might receive their healing. That's what Jesus did. Put your hands in the air. Anyone who's not feeling well, Lord, we just take authority over sickness and disease. If your hand is up, someone go to them right now. Lord, we just release the healing anointing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just keep coming, Lord. Just keep coming, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for moving. Thank you for the release. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Breakthrough. Breakthrough, Lord, right now. Those who are feeling sickness in their bodies, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's believe for big things. Let's believe for problems on the inside that have been there for years. Go to the people. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Keep coming. Keep coming, Lord. There's a person up in the front who has her hand up. Can someone go to her? Come on. Get out of your pews, please. Brothers and sisters, sons and daughters. Thank you, Lord. Anybody on the worship team is not feeling well? Come on. If your hand's up for prayer, worship team, put your hand up high. Okay, someone go to Mandy, please. I'm getting a direction, I believe, from the Lord. Step into it so we might have the freedom. Thank you, Lord. Don't just sway with the music. Use your words. Command every sickness and every disease to leave now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just keep coming. Bring the freedom right now. Bring the freedom in this house, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're feeling a change right now. Come. Come on up quickly and share the change. The pain, command the pain to leave. Command the pain to be gone. Command the sickness and disease to get out of that body. Receive by faith, dear ones. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Is anybody else who still needs prayer? Just wave your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus.
So I got my wisdom teeth out last Friday, two Fridays ago, and there was just one spot that was still hurting, and these lovely ladies came and prayed for me, and the pain is totally, totally gone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Your power's here. Come on, anybody else, you're feeling a change. Come on up quickly. Come on up and share that. Please.
I'm feeling a change.
Go ahead, Mandy.
Okay, I had flu symptoms this morning, and I threw up before church, before worship practice, and I feel totally better. So.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Can we say thank you, Lord?
And
praise the Lord.
I haven't been able to move my neck in a week, and I can move it now.
All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? You're starting to feel. Move around. Check your body. Huh? Who's feeling a change? If you have an internal disease or something, go get it checked. But if you have something else, come and tell us. That's two. Anybody else feeling better? The pain was sharper when you came in and now it's gone. It's lessening right now. Just wave your hand and come on up. Anybody else? Ask them. Ask them how they feel. Ask them if there's a difference. Anybody else?
Pastor Mary Pat, Kim? I felt like I was hit with a steamroller. And it's gone.
What do you mean a steamroller, Kim?
I was tired and sore.
Uh-huh.
Top to bottom. And
it's just
like 5 seconds ago, I just realized it's gone.
Well, like a wave. Thank you. Can we just praise the Lord for that? Come on. It's the power of God right here. Not just at the Cool Project, not just overseas, right here, right now. Anybody else? Anybody else right now? If you're feeling a little bit better, just wave your hand in the air. I don't know what you were feeling. Any change, Chris, in you? Then come on up and share it, please. Come on, guys. It releases more power when you come and share, I'm telling you.
When I got up this morning, I had a lot of aches and pains right through here, and it's almost all gone. It feels a lot better. And also, I've had a lump in my side right here, and Michelle... I was praying, and it has shrank. I know that because it's a lot smaller than it was. So
that's good. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anybody else? Huh? Bring her up here, Carly. Can you come on up and share? You can interview.
All right. Well, this is Karen, and she is our friend from yesterday. We went to visit her at her house because she's an old friend of Amber's. And when we went to visit her yesterday, what were you feeling? What was the pain that you had?
Horrendous arthritis pain all through my body.
So arthritis pain all through her body. And we just prayed for her. Me, Amber, Becca, and Shannon all stayed and prayed with her. And what happened after the prayer?
Wasn't hurt no more.
Yes, Lord. She said she can move her neck, and then this morning it was starting to come back a little bit, so we prayed again, and now how do you feel?
I feel good. I'm going to try to start lifting things again because my elbows weren't letting me. But yeah. I thank Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Karen, for your bravery.
Praise the Lord. This is what the gospel of the kingdom is. Amen?
Yeah, thank you, sweetie.
All right. Anybody else have anything to share here? Yeah? Ashley. Okay.
All right. So I woke up this morning, and I was really congested, and my eyes were all red and puffy and itchy from all the allergies and everything, and it always feels like my eyes itch, and now my eyes don't itch at all. They feel normal, and like my congestion, I feel like it's lifted a little bit. I mean, it's still kind of there, but it's not bothering me, and I can actually breathe out of my nose, and I couldn't do that this morning.
Well, even if it's not bothering you, God wants to get rid of it. Amen? Okay, so in Jesus' name, we just completeness, wholeness, in the name of Jesus, the power of God would come and completely release her from this in Jesus' name. Now, if you do feel better, not just because you felt a wave on you from that, but if you feel it's gone, tell us. Is it gone?
It feels a lot better. It feels a lot better, but it's still, like, slightly there, like, in the mic.
Well, Carly will keep praying for you, because slightly is not good enough for the kingdom of God, for Jesus. Amen? Carrie, you have something? Hi. You feeling something, Devin?
I had a spider bite. It was hurting.
You had a spider bite, sweetie? And it was hurting? And where is your spider? Where was that spider bite? Wow, right down here on the leg? Yeah. Did someone pray for you? Who prayed for you, sweetheart?
Spencer.
Spencer? Where are you, Spencer? Come on up here, Spencer. Yeah? Spencer's going to ask you a couple questions. Okay.
Hi, Devin. What happened to your leg?
I got bit by a spider.
Was there pain where the spider bit you?
Yes.
And what happened after we prayed together?
Stop hurting.
Wow. I guess it doesn't get any better than that, huh? So, Lord, I just thank you that you've taken the pain out of this spider bite. And, Lord, that all the venom is removed in the name of Jesus. Lord, that all the swelling is gone. And that any infection that would try to take him and bring hurt and pain, more pain to him, is absolutely gone now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for healing Devin completely. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. That's good, buddy. You did a good job. And someday Devin will be praying for people, you know, for healing, saying, hey, Jesus healed my spider bite. Or the spider bite, it's not mine. The spider bite. You know, you can do that, Devin. Yeah, in fact, does anybody need some prayer right now? I'm sure Devin would be able to pray for you and something good would happen. He's just been touched by God. Anybody need additional prayer for their pain or their hurt? Huh? Alexandra does. Something hurting on you, Alex? Does something hurt? Huh?
My legs hurt.
Every day your legs hurt? Do you want Devin to pray for your legs? Devin, do you want to pray for her legs and just say, Jesus, heal her legs, be healed? Think you could do that? Okay, why don't you put your hand on her leg?
Right there. And just say, Jesus, heal my legs.
Jesus, heal her legs. Be healed, Alex. Amen.
All right. Okay, move your legs, Alex. Yeah? Yeah? How do they feel? Thumbs up. All right. Amen. Thanks, you guys. You can sit down. That's so good. That's so good. Hey, Debbie. Yeah, come here.
Whoa.
Did you have something in your body?
Yes, I have carpal tunnel in my hand, and she prayed for me, and it feels better now.
Carpal tunnel? Yes. It's feeling better?
Yes.
Can you move it now?
Mm-hmm.
Amen? That's good. Amen. All right, how long did you have carpal tunnel, huh?
Stephanie and Beth.
Okay, so when you guys do pray for people, you need to come up and help us out here, all right? So can you move your hand like this? How long did you have carpal tunnel?
For like 2 years now.
2 years. Could you do this before? No. Can you do it for us so we can all see? Hold it up. Come on. Come on. Yay, Jesus. It's like way cool. Amen. Good job. Good job, Jesus. You can sit down. That's awesome. Something else? Hey, Roy.
So Roy had an accident in his left eye when he was 18 first. A shard of metal in his dad's garage cut it open. And then also again, when he was sled riding, the valve went in and damaged his eye. So where he was currently, before we started praying, he could only see like a shadow of me. And as we began to pray, what did you first experience?
It was starting to get brighter. I could see it was just the brightness was getting more. And I'm getting weird feelings right now in it that I really can't explain. It's a good feeling, so it's just different.
Yes, Lord. Yes. And Roy had a dream that this was going to be healed all at once, and the feelings that he's having right now are similar to the feelings he had in the dream. So... Yes, Lord. So, Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for what you've completed, Daddy. And I thank you that you're completing this right now. Roy, just go ahead and open your eye. There you go. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're restoring everything right now that was damaged then. Thank you, Father, that you're perfecting this eye in Jesus' name, the shape and everything inside of it. I command you to be restored right now in Jesus' name. And see clearly. But test that out, Roy.
Feeling weird is good. Healing anointing is in you. So I continue to bring complete and total restoration. Lord, bring total restoration to Roy's eye. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. I believe as you finish today, as you listen to the message and as the Lord continues to bring that healing, that will be the completion for you in the name of Jesus. Yeah. So more for you. Ha! Amen. Come on. Let's just praise the Lord. This is what gives me great joy. Seeing a soul saved, seeing a person freed, seeing somebody come out of darkness, that gives me a lot of joy. How about you? Isn't that wonderful? I just know that today God wants to do something inside of us, and he's already touched our physical bodies, and I believe he's continuing to do that. But he's going to raise the bar in another way for our awareness of some things, which we're going to go into in just a few minutes. But before we do, there's a few pictures up here. If we can have Michelle and Jamie and Lawrence come on up. We're going to share a few things with you to kind of set the stage for what God wants to do after that. And we're going to put some pictures up. Not sure what they have, and I don't really still know what you've seen since we've been gone. And we're back from Asia. Thank you very much for everything that you all did when you were without us here. Thank you for sowing into life here. Thank you for the messages that you preached. Thank you for the mission training weekend that you ran. Thank you for the watch of the Lord that took place here that you prayed into and through. I know it touched us in Asia. Thank you for the focus group meetings that took place and all of the ministry, other ministry as well. Thank you for the worship teams, just absolutely given that they're all because of the the numbers of.
Asia 2013. Okay. Well, I mentioned to you before, I really dislike missionary reports that are just reports. I really do. I always have. And I've been bored, even though I'm a missionary and I'm evangelist at heart. And so my desire always is when a missionary release is given, that it's just filled with power and presence of God to change lives. Thank you. And so that's the desire here, that it's not just a little report. These many people are saved, these many people are healed, these many people are delivered. These are some things to stir you up. And yes, these are for the children. How many little tiny children do we have in here? Ah, yes. That's all of us. So I know you're all hung. You all want to get to Kingdom Kids Land, and that's coming. But we want you to see these pictures because we believe God's stirring up the little ones who can pray for the sick and lead people to Jesus Christ. So how many do we have, guys? 15 pictures? Okay. So did they want to start? There. Wow. Cambodia. That's me. You can talk. That's true. I was there. I can talk about that. That is a lady of the night. And that is in the red light district in Cambodia. And you can think of a discreet way to discuss that with your children. We'll say no more than that. And this little one right here had a heart that God wanted to touch. And walking on the streets was just one of the greatest amazing joys. From doing that to going and doing larger conferences and things like that, I believe that God was saying, if you will see the one and stop for the one. Mike Wheeler, our son, painted that on a door so many years ago in Maputo, Zimpeto, in Mozambique. Stop for the one. It's now since been painted over. But stop for the one is something that Heidi Baker has always said. But it's not from Heidi, it's from Jesus. She just voiced that. But when you stop for the one, God says, I'm going to do something in that region, in that territory, in your heart, in that person, that's going to shake nations. You may not see it, but I guarantee I'll do it. It's not just, I've got to spend time one-on-one, or I do better with one-on-one, only one-on-one, or only with big crowds, or only on computers, or only on the keyboard, or only. The Lord is saying, stop for the person in front of you, and I will change you and that person dramatically. So this lady as well was really touched by the Lord. This was also in the streets of Cambodia. We connected with Iris Ministries there. They're just pioneering something in the last year or so. And we did a lot of encouraging. Jamie and I were there. A lot of strengthening and encouraging the troops and actually taking them out on the streets. The ones that we had, the nights that we went out, had never been on the streets before at night. And so this was new to them. And so I thought, wow, Lord, here we are traveling overseas because you told us to go there and depositing what God has already shown us. Isn't that amazing? And so God did that in these lives and taught people something as well. So he's always working on many different levels, which is great. And so that was very exciting to me, and Jamie can add to that.
If you want to go to the next picture. These are just some of the people that we were able to encourage and bless. There's basically two spots in Cambodia that Pastor Mary Pat and I were able to minister at. And one was in Phnom Penh, which is the capital of Cambodia, and the other was Scenicville, which is 4 hours away from this. And so this was actually the last night that Pastor Mary Pat and I were with the team, and this was prior to us going out into the streets that evening into a different part, not necessarily a red light district, but an area where pedophiles are known to come for children. And so it was a real blessing to be a part of this, because here we are coming in, and we've established this relationship with the leaders, and just flowing with the team, and we had actually flown in at the same time both cities were coming together for impartation and for strengthening and encouragement. And we flew in right when that was going on, and we traveled with them up to Scenicville to just be a part of what God was doing and the vision casting and everything that was just really stir them up for what God was going to do in the future and in the now and in the moment. And God so beautifully used Pastor Mary Pat and myself during those impartation times to just, you know, ease into those discussions that were being had by the leader. And we were able to just share the heart of God even more. And it was funny, one night, the first night that we went into the brothels in one of the red light districts, it was the time that we were spending with them, I think, was meant also just for free time and just for relaxation and fellowship with the team members who had not seen them each other for a while. And after a time of impartation, that just the fire of God that was being released through PMP, and to see the people in the streets to go out and to do this stuff and just to release God's love over these people, it was really funny because that that kind of changed. And after we were done, one of the leaders said, "So, well, we were going to have free time this evening, and we're going to have dinner, but I think that that's kind of changed. So, you know, raise your hand if you want to go out to the brothels tonight." And so that totally flipped around. And not that it was bad or anything. It was just God wanted to do something different and to release people into their destinies and why we're here in Cambodia with them. And so the picture you're seeing, though, is just a few days after that. And they were just totally blasted. This is actually a married couple from Britain, Molly and Steve and others who are just totally being wrecked by God. And I was actually downstairs in the bed resting myself as needed. And I'm just hearing the laughing going on upstairs and just all of a sudden this holy rupture taking place. And I go upstairs and I'm blasted myself. So it was a real encouragement to all of them. We were hearing from them after the trip, through emails and Facebook messaging. And they just really expressed their hearts to us that it was totally the Holy Spirit and the Lord that they were able to be lifted up in the way that they were. So,
just a quick side note on this picture. This really occurred because of a discussion in a van, and said, "So when's the last time you guys got together and started partying in the Holy Spirit?" Really? And they looked at each other and we're not really doing that. And I said, "Oh, well, I think we need to meet tonight. What do you say?" And not in a, you know, a way of, "Why aren't you doing this?" But come on. And it was so light. It was so wonderful that we actually set a time to go upstairs. And when we were able to really drink in the Spirit in a powerful way, it led into inner healing, deliverance from personal issues, hurts and pains, mother issues, father issues, all kinds of things. It was amazing. Just from taking time to drink. So that's what we're all about, drinking in the Holy Spirit. And the enemy would love to steal that from any of you who used to taste in that and used to imbibe easily. He would love to steal that from you and tell you that you have other things that are more important, from jobs to families to everything else. And I'm telling you that God would send us halfway around the world to release that over people who have already given their hearts and lives to be there full time. God is saying, "I'm serious about this." So hopefully you'll take that for yourself and say, "What does that mean? I need to think about that." Because there's a whole lot of power that's released from that and heals us. Amen. So here we are. Somebody want to speak about that? This is a foot that grew out, leg that grew out, healing.
Yes, so our first big conference in Jakarta, we did a Father's Heart and Healing Conference at a church that meets in a mall, and it was an amazing time of imparting the Father's love and the message of sonship, and then we invited people forward to receive. They first received inner healing in the morning session, and then in the afternoon they came up for physical healing, and this woman had been a member of the church for, you know, decades, and she had one leg that was an inch or an inch and a half longer than the other. Her hips were out of alignment. And so, there was pain while she was walking, sitting, a lot of issues. So laid hands on her and she started walking across the room faster and faster. She said the pain was gone. So she sat down at one point to measure her legs and she said, "Oh my goodness, my right leg grew out. It's they're the same length." So it was awesome. Amazing. You sure about this one too? We had opportunity to do a number of home meetings. I took that photo now. And so we were meeting at the house of a very wealthy gentleman who every year has invited Frontline to come and impart to a number of his business connections, church connections, really a sweet, humble man. And so that night, there was an amazing healing outpouring, one after the other. Remember, Pastor Mary Pat was calling out, first she called out anyone with vision problems, and, you know, nobody really raised their hand. Then she said, if you're wearing glasses, you know, the Lord wants to touch you. So there were three men who, at one point, they received prayer, and then she said, well, go read something. Go try it out. Test out this healing. So this man here, I kind of saw him in the back. At first, he looked a little skeptical, yeah, whatever, you know. But then his friends encouraged him. I was watching this. They encouraged him to try it out, and he started reading something, and then he came to the front and testified that he could see much clearer, and he was obviously joyful at receiving this healing. So that was exciting.
So, Roy, that's for you, and that will increase in you right now. Because the Lord wants to increase what he's already started in you from this testimony. Just receive it by faith and say, Lord, that's for me. I take it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I've not seen these pictures. These are darn good.
I took that one. Actually, I think Pastor Bill took that one. This was a time, actually, at the same church later that evening. We had an opportunity to minister to the youth. They had a youth group, and it was really cool. We came in after dinner or lunch with some friends, and we came in, and they were just having practice worship, and we just started dancing and enjoying the Lord's presence. And then after worship, we had an opportunity just to kind of share our hearts and impart anything about what the Lord was putting on our heart about worship. And Michelle, right here, being the bold, courageous, prophetic woman that she is, stopped right in the middle of her message, went up to the worship leader, and just began prophesying over and releasing a prophetic word. So it was a really cool time. You could see where she was. They really received it. Just through that, I shared something, whatever. Michelle released that prophetic word over her, which was really cool. And then Jamie started sharing about prophetic worship. And I think we can all imagine where that went. She started singing this song prophetically out over the group, and they were all receiving. And it was really neat because we were late to go to another one. So Jamie's singing and worshiping, and we're getting ready to go to the next event. And then all of a sudden, I keep hearing the music, but my back's to it. And then I look up, and Jamie's standing right in front of me. And I thought, well, what just happened? Well, as Jamie was releasing a prophetic song, I think it was that worship leader grabbed the microphone and just kind of kept it flowing as we were on our way out. So you could really see the impartation being released. As we leave, they're still singing and worshiping and receiving more from the Lord. So it was really neat. This is one of the pictures. I think you guys have seen some of it, but this is one of the pictures of the halls in Monado. This is where we had an opportunity to, we had a two-day seminar, and then in the evenings we had a revival conferences. I believe, based on this picture, this is probably one of the evenings of revival, but in the morning when we had seminars, actually, it was the mayor and almost all of the city officials and councils. So you really see, like, the whole government coming to this to receive and hear from the Lord. And there were incredible times of impartation. Actually, I think if you go to the next picture. Yeah. There was a time here where Pastor Bill was leading out in worship, and Pastor Mary Pat was just releasing the promises of God. And you could see people like this throughout the whole crowd just being touched by the Holy Spirit. Just began crying and weeping in his presence, receiving. And there were actually many people. So I think over two days, two nights, I mean, that was obviously a large room, and there were a couple of sessions where the room was packed. It seated 650 people, and I think it was full, at least completely full, one of them, and a lot of people around the sides. And then there were different people from the evening than there were in the morning. So, I mean, you're talking thousands at that point between the four different sessions. This was a time – was this the altar call, I believe? This was an altar call that Pastor Bill led in initially. I don't remember which one this is, but we had two altar calls that night. Pastor Bill called out for people just to receive the Father's love and come home and receive salvation. And so you had a whole group of people that came up to receive. And then shortly after that, Pastor Mary Pat grabbed the microphone and just kind of felt led to. We didn't even do healing at that point. We jumped straight into the next salvation call, and more people came up. So it was awesome how they received. Do you want to share about this one?
I'm just going to have you keep running the pictures from this time in Monado so you can see. And there's a whole lot. All right, see these people. Slowly, please. Okay. These are people who were leaders with us. The man in the blue is the mayor. And his wife is, where is she? She's next to me on the other side. Okay, I want to show, do you have any other pictures that Tanya sent, that I sent to you, Andy? Do you have those pictures? That's what we want to show, okay, also, about the conference. The reason we want to show you these things is because something happened that was unusual, very unusual. Government came together with the church, with business, with education. This island of Sulawesi is pregnant for revival. It's a big deal because God used the mayor and other business people. He used the government and he used the business people to come together and invite us. And so we were invited actually by the government of Monado to come and to release over Monado everything that God gave us in a very practical and tangible way. So there it is. See this up? This is an amazing room where a lot of dignitaries come from all over Indonesia. This is not just a little mayor's office. This is something that was historic. And we were in the newspaper, and I was sent the newspaper clipping that was translated into English by Google that Michelle gave me today. And there's these pictures were sent. Because look at this picture. Now look at this up here. These pictures, obviously you can see Pastor Bill and I up there, Reverend Bill, Reverend Mary Pat, Goki, USA, covering the expanse of this huge wall, because that was their way of honoring. And we just really felt that the Lord was saying, I'm ushering in my presence in a powerful way. Of course, it was honoring to us as people. But God was doing something in the spirit. And the mayor called up all the people who were government officials that came in the morning to sing on the stage. And then the next day, he called up all the people who were involved in education. All of the principals of all the schools all over the area were there and they're singing. I've never seen anything like this. It was a very big deal. And so I really want you to grab this. Look at this room. This very, very impressive room. Of course, it's beautiful, but people were filling the sides. There were hundreds. They said the capacity was 600 or more, but there were people all around and they were listening and bowing to the name of Jesus, listening to Jesus Christ. People on the worship teams that were there to do their singing and worship before and after us, they were getting saved. They were coming up and getting saved. It was a blowout in the spirit. People were getting saved. They were getting healed. They were getting delivered. They were getting ushered into the Father's love. And they've invited us back. And Monado has been touched by God. And it's in this article in the newspaper that was sent to us. And it said that God has touched Monado. Come on. Let's lift it up, for God has touched Monado. So it's no small deal. It's a very big deal. And so that's why I want you to see this. See these people. These are dignitaries. These are people who are in leadership positions that God used the mayor and his wife. And again, business people to fund it also, to bring them in for this. When you have government, business, and spiritual, the church come together with education as well, you're going to have a sweep through that nation, sweep through this area, sweep through Sulawesi, the island. And the mayor of Monado here, he is being groomed for things higher in the governmental realm. It's just the beginning for him. The Lord showed us that in the vision. I had a very powerful vision. As soon as Pastor Bill got up, the very first day, I have a vision of this mayor in warfare mode. He was sitting on a horse, and he had a helmet, and he had a sword, and he had the shield of faith. He had all of this armor on, but it was glowing. And what I saw in the spirit was a heart like this. It was huge. It was bigger than him. Big heart, but it was inside of this armor, and it was beating, and I had a picture of the Lord, and it was beating in cadence with the heartbeat of the Lord. And I told him that, and I spoke that out. I mean, they didn't even know us. Come on. And I get up there, first time I'm speaking, saying, hello, so nice of you to have us here. Let me tell you what I just saw in the spirit. Let me tell you about the vision I saw for your mayor. I mean, it was a huge deal, and it was just splashed on all of these people. And it was really a prophetic change and shift. And then he and his wife took us into their chambers at the end of this, and we prophesied over them and laid hands on them. And I believe that they could move to the highest place in Indonesia, honestly. And God used Frontline for that. A really big deal. And he is the mayor over all the mayors of all the cities in Indonesia. All of them. Come on. How many? 92? Now, he's a mayor on several different islands, not just one, because there's 17,000 islands in Indonesia. God has handpicked this guy and then connected us in Ohio and brought us over there. And then, when we were also in Jakarta, Indonesia, we were prophesying over someone else who is being groomed, picked by God, to go into the governmental realm in a big way. So we have a governmental anointing in this house, not just on one person or two people. This is a governmental anointing that God says, I'm giving it to Frontline. And it's been prophesied over us, over the leaders, to release this around the world. And that flows into you. So praise the Lord. God's doing something significant and you're part of it. So I hope that encourages you. So please begin to pray into that governmental anointing coming into the fulfillment of what God's purposes will be here in the United States and overseas. It's local outreach, global impact. It's both. It's not one or the other. Okay, any other pictures that deal with? Okay, and just real quickly, these are family members of the mayor who received healing, a grandfather who got out of a wheelchair and was walking. Continue on. Look at this. His grand in the mayor's mansion, they invited us over for dinner one night. And he got up. And this is Singapore. Another healing. Praise the Lord. Keep going. And this is... Are there any more from Manado, or are we finished with Manado? Finished with Manado. We felt like we went to four different countries. We were in Indonesia, but in two different areas of Indonesia. And when we got on a plane to go to the second area, it felt as though we had come into a whole new region with new people, new ministry, new everything. And of course, we were in Cambodia, Indonesia, two places, and Singapore. So really, we felt as though we were in four different countries in 3.5 weeks. It was a whirlwind. It was intense, very intense. So thank you so much for praying. Thank you so much for that. And these are just more healings. Worship leader, preaching. Oh, back up. Sorry. Back one. Yes. Did you want to speak on that?
We were speaking to leaders of a church that's in transition. The senior pastor and his wife are going to start a work in Australia. And they're going to turn it over to their sons in order to carry forth their church vision and so on in Singapore. And so I'm speaking to the leaders. We have a half hour between the two of us to speak to these leaders. And so I said, you know, I can only give the best to you. So here it is. And I started to share. And the translator somehow got caught up in the joy of the sharing. She stopped translating and started laughing, and everyone followed her and started to laugh. So most of the message was laughter. You know, not so bad, but that just... It gives me a giggle every time I look at it because she couldn't hold it back.
Okay. Go here too.
Those are still leaders of the various aspects of the ministry they have in Singapore, this church. The pastor, last year, he had prostate cancer. That was the prognosis. And so... You know, it was our first introduction to him, Pastor Lawrence. And so he was delivering us to our hotel at the end of our time in Singapore and the end of the time with this church. He drove us in a van. He got out of the van. He was going to greet us, you know, basically say goodbye to us. We started to pray for him for his healing. He went down on the curb. He was in the street. in Singapore, which is a major city. He's on the street being ministered to out in the street. And so he shared that with his leaders, that they should come and get some of what we had. So they came up. They were very open after hearing that their pastor, their senior pastor, was ministered to by the Lord and went down in the street. They couldn't imagine it. Something happening out in the streets rather than in the church building. So it was a lot of fun.
And his
prognosis,
he was in remission, right?
Yes. So he went to the doctors, and the doctors said, oh, we believe your cancer's in remission. So he emailed me, and he said, you know what remission means in the kingdom of God? I'm healed.
Jamie, is that Galen? Galen, who wants to share that?
Okay, these are people in Geylang, which is a place in Singapore. It's another red light district, and it's one that is very significant in the kingdom of darkness because people from all over the world come, and there's many, many streets. It's a very large area, and we were on the streets with people, but also working with people who are leading there. We had asked for that. We had prayed for that. Oh, that's okay. This is okay. Well, first, before you look at that picture, we were praying with people who are leading in the area of, in a good way, leading in the area of Geylang. We wanted that, so God connected us with people there. Some people who were actually from Cambodia, other people who were ministering there. So we've asked God, solidify what you want us to do, because we can walk a street anywhere in the world and something will happen. But now, what do you want to do with that? This is our third time in Geylang, third time in this area in Singapore. And then we had a night, and one of you can share it, where God directed us. It was just our team, nobody leading or anything like that. And God told us to go to a certain street, to do a certain thing, meet with certain people. And so maybe one of you can share that briefly.
Okay, without all the too much.
So this guy right here is a brothel owner, and it's not typical to be able to get that close and that friendly. As you can see, we took this with an iPhone, not a regular camera, discreetly, right, discreetly. And so the two gentlemen that we were able to speak with, which is beyond our wildest dreams, we were able to even do that. It's they were rejected really easily. If you come up, we wanted to just bless some of the girls who are in the behind the plexiglass doors and, you know, with their customers. And so we wanted to bless them with gifts. And they were the only ones that allowed us to get close to the door to even peek in and distribute these gifts to some of the ladies that we were able to have physical contact with, look in their eyes and bless them and say, we love you, Jesus, rescue somehow. And, you know, some of them spoke English, but there was just a point of contact that we were able to make and just believing that that was powerful enough in the situation that we were in to release the blessing of God and breakthrough that we're expecting to see in the future. Amen. We're able to get to this close. So anyway, the two gentlemen that we were talking to, like I said, they were brothel owners, and we basically gave them the gospel. And they were open to it, too. I mean, this guy right here, he probably would have stayed for a few hours more listening to what we were saying. But one gentleman was Peter, had gone to church when he was younger, but hadn't stepped foot into a church in years. And this gentleman right here was a Buddhist, actually. We gave the gospel to both of them, and they were listening. And Pastor Mary Pat was actually sharing her own testimony in her life and crying out to the Lord. And we lovingly encourage them and challenge them. When you go home tonight, ask the Lord if he is real, that he would show himself to you strongly, and that if he does, which believing that he had done that, that they would give themselves to the Lord completely, 100% in abandonment to Jesus Christ and his ways. And this, they both really, I mean, when we were talking to them, he said, I will, when I go home, I will ask this question. I promise you, shook our hands and everything, you know, the whole bit, but they were seriously and radically touched by God, even in that moment. And so, just to really understand, just really think about this. And this is crazy that we were able to do this. It's just absolutely crazy, but totally the Lord and totally the kingdom. And so it was off the wall. So
the reason it was off the wall is because we met with, God did it. We met with a leader after this, explained the whole story, and they said, this doesn't happen here. This is Holy Spirit. He allowed that. We said, we know. So it was really light invading the darkness and darkness just stopping. It was a dangerous place, truly. People are, you know, done in right there. And God just said, go right there. And here's what I want you to say. Here's what I want you to do. And then go back. We did what we were told to do. And God gave us freedom that was absolutely unheard of in that place. He gave me a vision a few years ago of this place. I never knew where it was. I didn't know about Singapore and Geylang at all. We hadn't even gone to Singapore. And he says, he gave it to me. He showed me that Michelle and I were walking on the streets, or on the streets, and that happened in 2010, I think. And I got that vision in my kitchen, but I held on to it. Now, this is for you. I held on to that vision because God said, it's from me, so I'm going to do something with it. So when we went to Asia a few months later, we went to India, three different places in India. Get off the plane. Lord, is this where this vision was? No. No, no. Three different places. We had been in India for a few weeks. And then we were on our way to Indonesia. But we stopped in Singapore on the way. My heart's like, God, I want to get off this plane and go out into that place. I'd never been in Singapore. But we know the ticket said go to India or go to Jakarta, and we've got business there. We've got meetings there. So we went. But I never lost that. But in Jakarta, I was asking the Lord, are these the streets? Is this where you want us? Just did not hear, yes, this is it. At that time, it will happen. So I shared that vision with one of our connections, one of our partner business connections, and friends in the heart as well. And this person said, that's from God. You need to go there. Give me your ticket. I'm changing that ticket. Here's some money. I'm putting you up in a 5-star hotel. You're going to Singapore. I mean, I'm like this. But I knew it was God. And I said, well, okay. Yes, God. Yes, God. And you're making the way. So the business community supported what God wanted to have happen. And so when we got there, that's when we said, Lord, is this the place? Yes. Where is the place? And someone at a hotel told us about the place and went on the streets. And now we've been there 3 years. And now God gives us this kind of favor that people who've been walking the streets and living there, ministering to people for years and years, have never seen anything like this before. It's not been done. God is saying, when you are completely crazy and you will listen to me, you can invade the darkness and things will happen. And that's for us today. It's a big deal. It's like, yay, yay, yay for Singapore. But yay, God, because he healed people in this place today. He healed our hearts. He's saying, pay attention. I am shifting things. Because I want you to take the next step. Go back to some of your dreams. Go back to some of your visions. And let God start developing those things. But I will tell you the truth. He told me this morning to tell everybody. He said, if you try to short circuit it, you just have an opportunity to learn that lesson again. Because if we don't stop for the one, if we make excuses that I'm too busy, I'm too this, I'm too that, we're going to miss those opportunities to hear the kind of direction that will change an entire region. And that's what God has for us. How to do kingdom. And he's speaking to us, all of us, in this season. Are we almost finished? God bless you. There's probably more, but we had a wonderful time. Thank you for everything. And children can go to kingdom land. Amen. Be blessed today. And if you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, and then Andy's got some things. We want to say also thank you to those as you're leaving who, Kim and Rick, who were overseeing the Cool Project. It was so cool. It's been a whirlwind, and Kim got healed also of her physical aches and pains. But God bless you and all those who participated in the Cool Project. It was in Massillon this year, and it wrecked my heart once again to be there. It was a real privilege to be there. So thank you for all who labored. Yeah, we'll see what God does next year. Amen? Okay, I want to paint a picture. I got this from the Lord, and I We're going to read through a lot of verses, but here's the reasoning. I want to read through these verses together because I am praying and believing that you're going to catch something about the nature of Jesus and the Father that you haven't seen before. Because it kind of tracks his life. I thought, you know, we're giving a missionary update, and Jesus, the greatest missionary of all, just traveled around doing all kinds of things. And to see how his life, how he moved from thing to thing to thing, person to person to person, city to city to city, you know, it's like, I need to understand more of how you rolled, how you operate. What's it like? What was it like, Jesus, for you? So we're going to be going through some passages that might be familiar. Yay, that's great. Let's go a little deeper than we've ever gone before with some of these passages to see how they're interconnected. Because there is such a thrill, I believe, that God had when he wrote the Bible saying, I hope everybody gets this. These are pieced together for a purpose. And I want to show you that purpose. So we're actually going through Luke 22 through 56. But we're going to move rather quickly. And I'm trusting that we're just going to upgrade together. I want to upgrade. Who wants an upgrade today? Yeah? Are we ready for that? Okay, let's keep that going, Andy. Let's keep that on, all right? Okay, this is in NASB. Now this, we're just going to begin here with Jesus and his disciples getting into a boat. And he said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And I will be reading this because this is being recorded, of course. So I'll read it and you can follow along in your Bible or iPhone or whatever you have. Let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they launched out. Now, when Jesus says something and he says, let's go to the other side of the lake, if you're listening to his words, then you would have to believe or you would be encouraged to believe that his intention is to get us to the other side of the lake, right? If we know that from him, he's not just going out and saying, well, let's go out and see what happens, but he's very precise right here. Let's go to the other side of the lake. Think about that. He knew exactly what Father was saying. He launched out with what Father was doing and said, come on, everybody, let's go. And so when he said this, he was very profound and in his speaking, and they launched out, but as they were sailing along, he fell asleep because he was resting in the bottom of the boat. And a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake, and they began to be swamped and to be in danger. Okay. Well, they're in danger because of the circumstances that seem to come towards them. But they really weren't in danger because Jesus was in the bottom of the boat. But yet, from their perspective, and from all natural occurrences, because we live in this world, we're not of it, they were in danger. Make sense? But yet Jesus had already spoken those words. That's why we have to hold on to what he has really said and spoken and not allow anything to short-circuit the process. So he's with the disciples. They came to Jesus and woke him up saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Now really, can you imagine? What was Jesus thinking? We're going to the other side, but yet they're coming to him saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Because they look at the gale, they look at the wind, they look at everything, and everything is just heading south. So we are perishing. We're going to die. Now, Jesus is absolutely not concerned about this because he initially said, let's go to the side. Let's launch out together. But they didn't grab that word from him. It didn't mean enough to them. They heard it and said, okay. But it didn't mean enough. It didn't grab their hearts to the point of their faith grabbing it and faith rising to be able to take a look at everything around them and say, you know what? I'm sorry. God has spoken here. Jesus has spoken here. My master has spoken here. So therefore, we are not perishing. It's like, oh. So if we're not hearing what God is saying at that moment, we're going to miss something and maybe even miss life. Our life could be snatched. Our property could be snatched. All right? Our destiny could be snatched. Things will be snatched from us because things will be in motion and the enemy will make sure of it or want to make sure of it. Okay? So they come to him saying, we are perishing. He gets up. He rebukes the wind and the surging waves, both of them, and they stopped and it became calm. What a surprise.
They went to him and said, please, please, please. And he stood up. Now, if this was his job to do, would he have rebuked them? Would he have questioned them? No. He wanted to help them rise to the next level because his response to them is, where is your faith? If it was Jesus' job to rebuke the water, to rebuke the wind, to rebuke the storm, I don't believe he would have said, where is your faith? Think about that. It was the responsibility of those that he was entrusting his power and his authority to that he had released. And he released more and more to them over time as they connected with him. Because that would be kind of a bummer. You know, it's like, Jesus, Jesus, we're perishing. Help, help, help. Where is your faith? It sounds like a condemning God pointing a finger. But if we don't understand the nature of the Lord and what he wants to do with that nature in us, then we will take these words as, where is my faith? Where is my faith? Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. Where's my faith? Oh. Instead of, oh my goodness, that was my responsibility. You are allowing me to do that. Can you see that? God gave them the ability to be saved. Huh. Okay, there was a storm that was planned for the Cool Project yesterday. Some people were very afraid. Some people begged God. And some people stood and rebuked the storm. And we had sunny days. God does care. He really does care. Well, it doesn't matter what I pray. Just say, help! Oh, Jesus was there. But what he said was the better way and the way that worked this time, okay, was to use their faith, real faith, biblical faith that he had released. He says, where is it? I've given it to you to do this. When Jesus fed the 5,000, he was demonstrating himself, but he told them to do it. He was showing them, you can do this. I'm here, I'm revealing the Father, but you can do this. So those of you in here who said, there will not be a storm tomorrow in Jesus' name or today, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Your will is for those people to be blessed in Massillon, for the Cool Project to go through in the name of Jesus. That's not arrogance. That's faith. And that's good. And God likes that. You see? So we're stepping in to what really belongs to us because he has entrusted, oh my goodness, he has entrusted so much to us. So when I stood up here today and I said, well, so what do you want to do now? He says, I want to heal people. And they're going to do it. I said, cool. And it wasn't a project. Okay? And so you did and you prayed for people in the name of Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name. No more sickness, no more pain. That's what our little children need to see. That's what they need to understand. When my children, when they were small, I don't know how many, Mike and Joe remember this. Didn't have Christy till later, and she knows, but she would have been right there. But wherever I went, when they were small, I was praying for people, and they were with me. They need to see that. They need to do that. They need to be around that. That's part of their DNA. Don't save that for when they're 15, 16. Have them with you. Show them. We can do this. Come on, lay your hand on somebody. You can do it. It's important. It's important because God's raising the bar in this season, and he's really bringing little children into a place that some of us didn't even walk in. My kids didn't walk in. Not to where it is right now. Take a step beyond what we've done before and watch what God will do. Stop in the grocery store. I used to do that. Stop on the street. I used to do that. Stop. Do crazy things. Say, look, there's a hurting person. Let's go as a family. Let's pray for that person. Honestly. God will back you up. He'll say, whoa, they've got crazy faith. Can you see? Jesus did this 2,000 years ago, and he's saying, I'll do it now, but you have the Holy Spirit in you. Okay. Where is your faith? They were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him? Can you move, please? Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. Okay. Scenario two, and we just went through one, and they were saying, who is this? My goodness, who is this God? Who, my gosh. And Jesus was saying, I want you to know who I am. Watch me.
But you can do this. You can stand up and do these things. Where is your faith? Meaning faith will release. Okay, so now, step two. Now they keep on going. They sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he came out onto the land, he was met by a man from the city who was possessed with demons and who had not put on any clothing for a long time and was not living in a house but in the tombs. Sounds pretty dastardly and horrible, actually. But this is what was going on. That's happening now. A lot of people like this are in mental institutions, or they're given drugs so that they'll just kind of, you know, function at a lower level, but we can maintain them. Okay? People in my own family have gone through things like this. It's very rough. But God says, you know, let me show you what you will do. Let me show you what the gospel in the kingdom looks like. Seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell before him. And he said in a loud voice, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." So when he saw Jesus, he cried out and he fell before him. Now I'm going to fast forward to a few years ago. We were in Ghana in the Upper East, and Pastor Bill and some of us were there, and we were doing a conference, a pastors and leaders conference, and then going into the villages at night to meet people who didn't come to a pastors and leaders conference. And I was walking down the road with some of the team members, and I saw a lady who was blind beggar. And she walked towards me. There was no microphone. There was just donkeys and carts and people on a dirt road. Okay? There was no praise team. There was no interpreter. And I looked at her. And this was an example of stop for the one. So I looked at her and I was like, "Jesus, you're going to heal her. She's blind in one eye and she's begging. And because she's blind in one eye, God, you want to bring sight to her. I know you do." And literally, I'm tired physically at that moment. For a second, until I stepped into what God wanted to do next. And so when I stepped into that, and I said, I tried to explain the gospel with my hands, but she didn't understand me. But there was a guy between here and the door, and he was laughing at me, and he said, "She doesn't understand you." And I said, "You speak English, come over here, I need you." So he came over, and he became my interpreter at that moment. And so I said to her, I said, "I'd like to pray for you because Jesus wants to heal you." She said, "No." And I asked her why. I asked the Lord why. I asked the Lord why. And what he said to me was, because I was stunned. And when I asked the Lord why, he said to me, "She doesn't want to be healed because if she's healed, she won't be able to have a livelihood where she begs. And she's been begging for decades. She was really old. She'd been blind in one eye since she was little." She didn't even remember how many decades it was. And so I got the word of the Lord, and I gave her the word of the Lord. I gave it to her. And because it had power, because it came from him, I can't change her mind. Come on. Little white lady is not going to change this lady's mind. She wants to beg here. Come on. And so I gave her the word of the Lord just at that moment. She looked stunned, and she said, "Okay, you can pray for me." Because I said, God will take care of you. She may not have believed it long term, but she believed it enough at that moment because that's what God wanted to do. He gave her the faith for that, and she said, "Okay." So I prayed for her. I rebuked the blindness. Gunk started coming down her eyes. She's immediately healed. Immediately she can see. Instant healing. And she's not smiling. She doesn't want to receive Jesus. So it's like, oh my goodness. So in the middle of the street, I yelled out and I said, "Look what Jesus has done. Look what Jesus has done." I was so amazed. I was so amazed that he did that. And I've seen it many times. I was amazed. But what God wanted to do was way beyond the lady's blindness. He wanted her saved. He wanted her in the kingdom. He wanted her to see. But he wanted so much more than that. He wanted a region to be transformed. So when I said those words, many people came over and they knew her. They said, "This is the lady who I've always seen beg, and she can see. What's going on here?" And they came over and they got healed. "Pray for me." They came into the kingdom. I led them to the Lord, many of them. And then I asked her, "Do you want Jesus?" "No." "Come on." "Why?" "Well, I wasn't going to try to figure that one out because there were people still coming." And it got to the point where we actually had to move to the side of the road. And I got up on a box, a wooden box,
And I started preaching with some of the team members there and told them about Jesus, told them what Jesus is like, told them what he wanted to do, pointed out this lady, pointed out the other healings and other people that come to Jesus. First 10, then 20, then 30, then 50, then 100, then 200, then 250, then 300, then 350, between 350 and 400 people gave their lives to Jesus because of one lady. Do you see? And when that happened, I'm telling you, people who had demons came up like this. Why? Because the power of God was there. They came up in front of me going, is that weird or what? And they went down on the ground and they were healed and they were delivered of demons because there was a portal of glory over us. It was a creative miracle for an eye forming at that time. Also, all kinds of healings, all kinds of salvations, all kinds of deliverances from one op right there. And all the Lord said was, what do you want to do with this? That's what he's speaking to us, guys. Whether it be a cool project, you know, whether it be gift of Christmas, whether it be missions overseas, or whether it be coming to an all-night prayer watch, whatever it is, the Lord's saying, what do you want to do with this? Because we are the evangelists inside. I have a gift of evangelism. That's one of my gifts. I know that. And he's using that. But he says, go and do the work of an evangelist for all of us. Because he wants us to see what we can do, even beyond painting a fence. And I am so proud of you guys. You guys worked from 8 o'clock in the morning all the way through the afternoon, and many were able to go out to the worship in the park last night. You know, it was tiring, and it was hot and all of that. And it was interesting because the lady who oversees the whole project texted me, because she knows Frontline, and she said, hey, MP, gives me an address on, you know, like this incognito little text. Go to blah, 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 blah. There is an opportunity. Whoa. So I did, because we're friends. And I'd been talking to everybody on the street, because that was my role there that day. And you guys were painting and such like that. But I think we can do both and more as a company of Frontline and more people. Why? Because God has entrusted us with much. No faulting what happened. It was awesome. But God has entrusted us with these kinds of things. Many of you have stepped into this already. Some of you 10 years ago. Some of you when you were kids. And God is saying, it is supposed to be way beyond that now. Not less, way beyond. Because God always increases. Jesus increases. So I went down to this house, and I thought it was kind of interesting because a church that we had attended a while back, actually the Pastor Bill and I got married in, and some of us attended that for a short time, and he was there a lot longer. In fact, Pastor Bill co-founded that church. And so I was there, and people were there doing all kinds of things, taking care of people, painting, and doing wonderful things. It was great. Saw Mary Senefton, a girl who's the age of Christy and others in here, and she's out there and doing all kinds of stuff, you know, helping people. But the Lord took me, and he sent me to the backyard because I had these spiritual eyes to see at that moment what he wanted me to do. And I spent a very long time, a couple hours by the time I went there and came back, with a gal who got saved. Because God wanted to save her in the backyard during the cool project with other people fixing her house up. You see? And God is saying, I'm up to something beyond what you can see. And so painting and cleaning, I just think that's awesome. And building things, I love it. But God is saying, because of that, I'm after their hearts. I want them to see the goodness of God, but I want them to also do something with that. I want a response from them for their sake, for their life. What are you willing to do? What can you do? And so it's like, wow, Lord, I don't know. Give me some ideas. How can we do this? And thinking about the future, what can we do? Because this is a company of people who have done these things. You have. I've been with you. It's like, wow. So there are things that God wants to show us that he's going to increase that can make a difference in this region for each one of us. Isn't that exciting? So, seeing Jesus, all right, this lady, seeing Jesus working through me,
because I'm not Jesus, but he was working through me. All these demon-possessed people, demonized people came to me back in Ghana. Bam, 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 bam. Miracle, miracle, miracle. This is the gospel of the kingdom. This is why we drink in the Holy Spirit before we go out. This is why we do the things that we do. What business do you have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. Demons fear you. If they don't fear you, there's a problem. Because God says, demons fear the presence of God. Jesus carried the Father's heart. They're to fear you. So when people come in here who have demons, some of you might have demons in here today. They're not operating right now. That's for sure. But God says, I want them to be released from you so that you don't carry them anymore. So you don't carry your addictions. You don't carry the things that I've pulled you down that cause sickness, disease, and death. I want you free so you can do the work of the kingdom and free others. But he's saying, I'm looking for willing people. And he's also looking for people in here who do not carry demons to be able to help others who do be released from them. That's our job. Okay, so. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had seized him many times, and he was bound with chains and shackles and kept under guard, and yet he would break his bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. This sounds pathetic. Come on. But Jesus commanded this unclean, wicked thing to leave, and it left. And Jesus said, what is your name? And he said, Legion, for many demons had entered him. They were imploring him not to command them to go away into the abyss. Now there was a herd of many swine feeding there on the mountain, and the demons implored him to permit them to enter the swine, and he gave them permission. And the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. I mean, they were begging Jesus, don't mess with me. I love it. Come on. If people are running away from you and they're not around you, go get them. If there are people that you love and you know that they're demonized, and we don't want to say, gosh, that's really rough, isn't it? We want to do something. We really do. Because God says when the power is there, that there can be a response. Let's be stirred up today, because there are some people who call Frontline home that carry demons. And some of us know this. And some of us know what to do about it. We need to take that seriously, because the devil is out for keeps. He's out to kill. Steal, kill, and destroy. He really is. So we need to take that seriously, because we're in a season where the glory is being poured out in such a way. All these miracles are happening. But let's not forget this part. Let's not forget this. Because this is right in the weaving in of Scripture. This is what the Lord showed me today, to offer today. Okay. So when the herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran away and reported it in the city and out in the country. The people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting down at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they became frightened. Greater works will we do. He says, greater works will you do because I go to the Father. He says that. And the enemy's ploy against any of you who believe this is true for you will be to keep you too busy, honestly, in doing something else that sounds good, that is definitely nice, that has love attached to it. But some of these things may get swept under the radar because we're too busy. So, those who had seen it reported to them how the man was demon-possessed and had been made well. And all the people of the country of the Gerasenes and the surrounding district asked him to leave them, for they were gripped with great fear. And he got into a boat and returned. But the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him. Come on. But he sent him away, saying, return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you. So he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Jesus knew what to do with him. He just wanted to be in the presence of God. He says, I know. But go back here, start here, because I've got a purpose in this. I want to see your whole city saved. Kind of like that blind woman. Is that cool? And I don't remember if this was the last day of our pastor leader conference or not, but I know that I've shared this testimony in Ghana. This I was telling you about. I've shared this testimony in Asia, in every country I've been in. I share that because it's so amazing. And people clap and go, whoa. And say, God, stir their heart up for what you want to do. Because I always say that I was out doing something else, but this is what God wanted to do. What if he wanted to do that in Jackson Park? Seriously, what if you're taking a walk with your family or whatever in Jackson Park and you see something? What if it starts with just seeing somebody who's hurting or seeing somebody who's limping or seeing somebody who's got, you know, an ailment, and we just go after it? Just go after it. What could God do with that? Maybe just heal that person. Way cool. But what if he wants to do something else? And in Ghana, he wanted to do something else. Remember the baby that was raised from the dead this summer in Mozambique, inside the belly? That brought revival to the pastors and leaders, not just a baby that then lived after that. Can you see? God is saying, think beyond, and I'm showing you how Jesus walked in what he did. There's more. There's more for you because I've enabled you to carry this. And as Jesus returned, the people welcomed him, and they had all been waiting for him, and there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue. So here we go into the next. Are we on number 4 now? Is this 3? 3? Okay. People welcome Jesus, okay, because they've been waiting for him. You know that when you're carrying the presence of God and the power of God, when someone is really glad to see you, that speaks life. I know when I come home, if someone actually can look me in the eye and say, I really missed you. Oh, it's good to see you. That affection says something to me. You know, if you didn't, don't worry about that. But I'm just saying. I'm just saying. It's like, oh, they love me. They love me. Somebody really loves me. And these people were responding to Jesus. They really love Jesus. Some of them probably just saw the good works that he did. And there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the crowds were pressing against him. Okay, so Jairus comes to him, an official in the synagogue. So notice the difference. He's in the bottom of a boat. He's got this Gadarene demoniac. And now he's, here we go. Now people welcomed him. They've been waiting. And now there's somebody from the synagogue. Interesting. Look at the clientele. All right. His disciples in the bottom of the boat. All right. This demonized dude and his family. And now this synagogue leader. Interesting. Very multifaceted Jesus. Yeah, but that was Jesus. We carry him. Multifaceted Jesus. Into the brothels, into the big governmental palace. Can you see it? Just go and do. Be ready to do. So they implored him to come. Did I read it all? Oh, yes, I did. And the crowds were pressing against him. Okay? And a woman. Now, get this. Now, Jesus had already been approached. And then the crowds are starting to press against him. Now, this is really important. They're pressing against him. He and this woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years could not be healed by anyone. So now, story shifts. And all of a sudden, there's a change in the person that he's dealing with. Jesus was supposed to be dealing with Jairus' daughter, maybe? Like, what the heck? This is a split story. Why? Because Jesus was listening to the Father. And when he listened to the Father, he heard the Father speak to him and show him something else. And also, he was so sensitive to the Spirit of God in him that he knew something was going on. So people started pressing up around him. Now notice this, that his leaders around him were trying to protect him, rightfully so, because Jesus had important business to do. So they were trying to protect him. So, you know, he got this throng of people and people are moving up against him. But look at Peter, who missed it again. God bless him.
But he missed it again. Okay? And Jesus said, who is the one who touched me? And while they were all denying it, like, I didn't do it. It wasn't me. I mean, they're probably thinking, well, what the heck, Jesus? And so Peter comes up with something in his mind, in his brain, his reasoning, his own reasoning. And he says, Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you. So he gave Jesus, come on, the explanation. Of course you felt somebody touching you. You know, we're trying to do our job and protect you. I've been smacked by people who have demons before, you know, when people get close, when you're praying for them. I've had all kinds of things happen, and I've had some folks to try to help protect me from that in the sphere of ministry frivolity. And sometimes that hasn't worked. But Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you. And Jesus said again, excuse me, Peter, you missed it. I'm not saying, come on, who's touching me? What's up with this? He's not saying that. He's wanting to know, or he's responding, I should say, and wanting to know because he knows everything. But he's responding to the fact that something happened supernaturally to him. He's not saying, okay, somebody's touching me and why? Something happened supernaturally. Jesus spoke with purpose. He wasn't speaking stupid things. He wasn't making jokes about things, you know? He was serious, but seriously joyful. So he had a guard on his mouth as well, but he was seriously joyful. So, and while they were denying it, Peter said these things. Someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had come out of me. So he was totally aware of power that came out of him. Totally aware. Okay. When the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him. In other words, now all eyes are on here. Jesus said, there's power that left me. So Jesus wanted to connect. You see? Jesus didn't just want to know. He wanted to connect. What are you saying now, Holy Spirit? I want to connect because power went out of me because somebody made an attempt to come near me. Somebody wanted something. They wanted me so badly. They wanted my presence so badly that I want to connect with them myself. I want my eyes to see them. I want to speak to them. I want to encourage them. I want to finish the process. Ooh, what a good God. And she came trembling and like, okay, it was me. Oh! So she trembles before him because she'd already had this power go into her. She trembles before him and declares in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him. Well, you see, I had this issue of blood for 12 years, and I spent any money that I had, and I went to the doctors, and they couldn't do anything for me. And I just knew if I could touch the hem of his garment, I just knew I would be healed. I knew if I could just get close to the one who is the healer, if I could just connect with his presence, I know his power would touch me. I know I'd be different. I know I'd be changed. She connected in the glory. Wow, woman of great faith. And she was afraid, so she's trembling on the ground, but she's also trembling in the presence of power. Was Peter? I don't think so. He's trying to explain it away. And how she'd been, the people, the reason why she had touched him, and how she had been immediately healed. Can you imagine having this deal go on for 12 years? 12 years. And then it's gone. And now she's explaining. And Jesus wanted that to happen. Not only did he want to encourage her, he wanted her to speak about it. He wanted her to say something. And by the way, the woman in Africa who was blind, somewhere in that multi-hour process, she decided to join the ranks with a group. There were many groups, went through the gospel many times. Did you see this miracle? Let me tell you about Jesus. Blah, blah, blah. And so with many, many, many different salvations, it wasn't one time or two times or three times. It was over and over and over. So Jesus said, I want you to speak about this. And it's going to happen in kind of a weird way because Peter's messed up a little bit. So what happens? She speaks about it and she explains that she had been immediately healed. So she testifies to that. And who knows how many other people were healed? Who knows what Jesus did with that? But he's very specific, very intentional. And he wants us to see as he sees. You pray for someone who's got a limp at a Connor College campus, then what? What do you want to do with it? Maybe at that moment, he wants you to stick with that person to encourage that person. Maybe there'll be another opportunity. Just have to ask him. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Now, come on. Here's this lady with this ailment. Your faith has made you well. Jesus went after the demonized dude who came to him. Think about that. Okay? This lady goes after, finds Jesus, and he speaks to her about great faith. All right? And his own disciples in the bottom of the boat, so scared because they're going to be done in, they're watching all this, and yet Peter still didn't get it at first. So he had another opportunity. And all of us as leaders in here have another opportunity. And we will the rest of our life, okay? Can you see that? It's like, God, you're saying this woman had great faith. But you're saying to the disciples in the boat, the ones who are the leaders, come on, guys. He's saying, where is your faith? Why? Because he had entrusted so much more to those disciples. They had hung with Jesus. This lady needed a healing. And he said, your faith has made you well. What has he entrusted to you? What have you received from Jesus Christ? Well, since you've been saved, what has he spoken into you? And what are you willing to do with that? Way beyond. Well, I'm going on a mission trip. Get off my back. I'm not on anybody's back. This is all about being stirred up today about who you are and who Jesus is to you and what you can do with what has been released into your life. The enemy says, just get mad at this preacher and say, I'm trying. That's not the issue. It's not about trying. It's not about not doing enough. That's not this message. The message is, what are you doing fully with what's been entrusted to you already? What light do you have? What light have you received? What light is inside of you and you're carrying? What can you do with that? While he was still speaking, someone came from the house of the synagogue official saying, your daughter has died. Hey, Jairus. Sorry, buddy. You know, let's reverse, go back to Jairus. But he had to take care of a few kingdom things in the middle of that. Came from the house of the synagogue saying, your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. When Jesus heard this, he answered him, do not be afraid any longer, only believe, and she will be made well. What did Jairus just have kind of an understanding of what was going on there? Didn't he see a few things? Don't know what he saw? Don't be afraid, only believe, she'll be made well. And when he came to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him except Peter, John, and James. And the girl's father and mother brought the girl's parents in for the deep love for that girl. Brought James and John in for the deep love for Jesus. Come on. For the pregnant miracle to happen, to come and be birthed, actually. While he was still speaking, was that the end of it? Is there another? Now they were all weeping and lamenting for her, but he said, stop weeping, for she has not died, but she is asleep. And they began laughing at him, knowing that she had died, still laughing at Jesus. He, however, took her by the hand and called, saying, Talitha kumi, or child, arise. And her spirit returned, and she got up immediately, and he gave orders for something to be given to her to eat. Her parents were amazed, but he instructed them to tell no one what had happened. With this in mind, this is the kind of God we serve. And he says, how big is your miracle heart? What do you really want to see? What do you want? Do you want something for your family and your kids? And maybe your extended family a little bit, which is okay. But do you want something bigger than that? Do you want more than that? Do you want a greater increase around you that will affect your children? They will affect your grandchildren. They will affect your family members. That will affect this kind of power and authority. God says, I've released. You can have it. If you can see it, you can have it. Yeah?
So let's take what we've heard today, what we've seen and witnessed today, and now let's put that faith into action. And let's see that captives set free abroad and here. There are people call Frontline their home, and you know them, and they're carrying spirits. They're carrying demonic things. And those demonic things are afflicting their minds and their bodies and moving in them. Let's rise. It's time. It's really time. Here and overseas. Because that's what Frontline was founded on. Here and overseas both. Amen? Is this encouraging to us today? Yeah? So, Father, we just lift your name up and we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your power and your presence. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are so amazing, that you want to eradicate the wickedness that comes against our loved ones. You want to remove the stumbling block. You want to remove the sickness, the disease, the demonic attacks, all of it, Lord. The imprisonment for being falsely accused, addictions, you want to break that. You want the abundant life here. And Lord, you're looking at us, and I believe you're saying, what will you do? What will you do, my beloved ones? What will you do? And I believe, Lord, that that doing comes from being, and that we will have eyes to see. I believe, Lord, that there will be many discussions today in families over lunch or dinner saying, Lord, what are you saying to me? Lord, what are you doing right now? I believe that this is a new day, that when you say you can save a nation in a day, that you actually mean it, and that you're looking for people who will believe it, who will be able to do the greater works because you've gone to the Father. Lord, that's not radical. That's normal Christianity, because that's what heaven coming to earth looks like.